The One by Lillian DeWaters. Chapter 3. Mortal Mind and Matter Explained. Now truth does not proclaim that the way out of falsity is to waken from the actual sleep or dream. That is, the way of deliverance is not by actual awakening. For to admit an awakening would be to admit actuality of the dream. Students often say, "I know that I am only in a dream of sickness, but I must get out of the dream." They are asked by the teacher, "What is the treatment for man in a dream or in an illusion?" And they answer, "Waken him." Let it be clearly seen and understood that such a notion is not science, for there is no actual awakening to take place, and should one attempt to waken another from a dream or sleep, he betrays that he himself is deluded. The right treatment for what seems to be man in a dream or delusion is this: there is no man asleep in a dream. You see, the belief that man is in a material world or is in a dream or in a sickness is a falsity, a lie, a deception, and must be denounced. Man is not to be taken out of the dream, out of the sickness, out of the false world, but man is to know that he cannot be deluded, and he is to know that a false belief is nothing at all, nothing at all. Is it evident to you now why Jesus said, "Take ye no thought, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free"? Thought of any kind cannot deliver a dream man, for such a man is no thing, no substance. Nor can any kind of thought place a man where he already is. To know the truth means to see through a deception. To know the truth means to have the spiritual insight, which frees you from a false belief. Attempting to waken oneself or another from evil brings about no deliverance, and trying to take away sickness from what seems a sick man, is the very same as endeavoring to feed the hungry man in the night dream. Suppose that one meets a man who is sick and crying out for help. Should he look upon the sick man, affirming, "Now this man is not really sick or in pain, he is only sick in a dream existence"? The man would continue to cry for help. But suppose another, seeing the sick man and hearing his cry for help, knows there is no dream world, there is no man in a dream world, there is no man suffering in a dream world, the suffering would cease, for this man would be knowing the truth. The emancipator is truth. It may be asked, why do we hear so much about the night and the day dream? Why talk in parables and illustrations? Why not give plain answers to plain questions? You will notice that the infallible Jesus talked in parables. He did this for a reason, and the reason is this: the mind will not function to a parable. When one relates a story or a parable, it is the same as though the listener were looking at a picture. He perceives, he recognizes. His mind is without thought, is quiet, still, while he is perceiving the facts that are being laid out before his vision. Insight, discernment, is taking place, and when the story is finished, he says simply, "I see, I understand, it is clear to me." Such understanding has not come to him over the track of his intellect, but through soul perception. All teachers who present the science of the absolute, the science of perfection at hand, follow the great master and teach by means of illustrations and parables. For only when the mind is thoughtless does insight take place. Now, how does all this apply to healing the sick? Well, if one is able to perceive the nature of sickness, he will be in a fair way to become or continue a well man. Whereas if one is shown through mental reasoning how to destroy sickness, although he may recover from that particular ailment, he is liable to have troubles under other names at other times, for emancipation consists not in destroying dreams, not in destroying false or evil conditions, but in understanding their nothingness. Thus, we see why it is that man cannot actually be healed, why it is that we are not to attempt by any means whatsoever, material, mental, or spiritual, to destroy evil. We see that man cannot actually be taken from this world and its trouble because he is not actually in it. This is the reason that so-called disease continues throughout the world, regardless of all the material remedies of drugs and operations and with all the mental remedies of right thoughts at hand. As long as there are physicians and healing means, there will be conditions to be healed. All sickness is but false belief in the human or carnal mind. And those who would heal sickness are those who believe it is something to be healed. Thus, it can be seen that the only way to be rid of what is termed disease is to disbelieve in it. The only way that you can get a picture into a mirror is to place an object before the mirror. The only way to see the picture called disease in the world is to believe in disease. For the picture of disease is the externalization of the belief. Belief is that which casts the picture, and without belief, there could be no corresponding reflection or picturization. If all the world would have spiritual insight to discern that all picturization of evil and trouble in this world is but the shadow of ignorance, false belief, and would refuse all healing means and simply know the truth, which is know the nothingness of belief, the nothingness of deception, the nothingness of dream and dreamer, and would acknowledge the allness and omnipresence of perfect man in a perfect, changeless world, all false pictures like dreams would vanish away, and man would find himself in heaven, living his actual life. All kinds of devices have been used in this world to free man from sickness and trouble. Belief or faith, however, in the means employed is absolutely necessary in effecting a cure or a help, no matter what the aids are that are applied. We hear the voice of the Master, "All things are possible to him that believeth." When man is dreaming that he is in the ocean, will his belief that he is in his own room bring him back to his bed? No. But if he could believe this in his dream, it would be a device that would cause the dream to cease. Thus, belief as a device is used in aiding man to experience freedom. When the sick use drugs, for instance, and they later say that they have been helped or healed, how has this come about? Is there any power in medicine? No. God alone is power. The drug does not heal because of any intrinsic value it contains, but the person taking the drug has belief either in the physician who recommends it or in the drug itself, or perhaps belief in both. And this belief is a device detaching him from his sense of sickness and often affecting a cure. Since man is already in heaven now, and man is never sick except in belief, which is not at all, he must also be healed only in belief. He cannot actually be healed, for he is not actually sick. He cannot actually be placed in heaven. Harmony for the kingdom of heaven is already within him. Thus, man is healed only in belief, whether he places his faith in drugs, in right thought, or in truth. One might ask, then why not accept medicine instead of studying truth? For this reason, one uses medicine to destroy or heal sickness, and even though he is cured of a particular ailment, this way still he is liable to other ailments at any moment. One studies truth that he may experience uninterrupted harmony, that he may enjoy absolute freedom, that he may clearly perceive the nothingness of all dreams of sin, sickness, and death, and demonstrate continual peace, joy, and harmony. Many students have the idea that they must continually be seeking truth. They read, study, take instruction with the idea that they are seeking for something, seeking for truth, that is, that truth is something for which they are looking, something which they would add to their being, some appendage, like a cloak that they would wrap around them. Now, this is not the right understanding of it. I recall at one time when I was earnestly trying to make a demonstration, and it did not come to pass, that I felt all the time that it must come to pass, that I must prove the truth. Then, one day, like a flash, it came to me this way. It is not you proving truth, but it is truth proving you. What a difference it makes, and how it turns us directly around. We look out when we should look in. How wonderful, how restful, how glorious it is to meditate upon the fact that truth knows itself. Truth is forever conscious of truth and of nothing else. We need not seek truth as though we were looking for something that is hidden afar off, as something which we would add to ourselves. For when we come unto the light of true understanding, we find that truth is right at hand, nearer than our breathing. For we ourselves are truth. Truth is our life, our substance, our very being. Now we have heard that mortal mind is all that believes in sickness or evil, and that mortal mind alone creates it. Many may not have a clear understanding of what constitutes mortal mind. The greatest of all teachers said, "How can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man?" This strong man is, of course, the mind. Some people use the term mortal mind as though it were a personal being or a personal devil, as though it were some thing or mind or being that acted against them, causing them to do what they should not do and to be what they should not be. Now, mortal mind, or the human mentality, can be clearly explained and understood. We know that God, divine mind, truth, does not create or sustain evil. If we assert that evil is the product of mortal mind and then claim the nothingness and fabulous existence of both mortal mind and evil, how are such ideas to be accepted and understood? Let us imagine that the people of the whole universe, or a vast portion of it, are asleep, dreaming. In their dreams are millions of people wandering around in pleasure, pain, good and evil experiences. In their dreams are houses, streets, land, water, sun, stars, cities, animals, people. Did God create these? No. Are they real? No. Have they any substance? No. Have they any life? No. Who created them? The dreamers. Is the universe which one dreamer creates any different from the universe that another dreamer creates? No. They are both the same, both nothing. Is this not so? That is, it matters not who the man is that is doing the dreaming, whether a lord or a peasant. The dreams are springing from the same source. Is soul the dreamer? Does truth, the real self, dream? No. Then what is it that dreams, that produces cities where there are no cities, that creates men and women where there are no men and women, that creates a whole universe where there is no such universe? The mind of the sleeper. Since the dream of one dreamer is the same as the dream of another dreamer, we can group all dreams together and state that mind is the dreamer. The mind brings forth a false, an untrue, an unreal creation, which has no life, no substance, no being whatsoever, but is wholly hallucination, deception. We can easily admit that man in a dream can feel pain when there is no pain, can be afraid when he is in no danger and has no reason to be afraid. For instance, one might dream that he broke his arm and that a surgeon came and set the bone and a nurse took charge of the case. Now all the time that he is feeling his arm broken, set and bandaged, his arm is actually thrown carelessly over his head on his pillow, safe and sound. Yet he is in total ignorance of this fact. To him, his arm is broken when it is not broken. He is feeling pain when there is no reason for pain whatsoever. He is living in a false world, in a false belief, cut off from this world and from this self. Now, since divine mind, intelligence, does not sleep or dream, then we state that one's mind sleeps and dreams, and one cannot actually be shut off from this world while in dreams, but that one can be shut off only in belief. In belief, man has a mind that weaves falsities, deceptions, which have nothing whatever to do with his actual existence in his room and bed. At night, then, he is exiled from this world and this self through what is called a dream in the mind. We come now to man in this world awake, exiled in belief from heaven. Blinded to the facts of life, he finds himself in a world of change, sickness, trouble, evil, with a body that feels sensation, pain, with a mind that thinks thoughts of fear and worry, with changes, earthquakes, accidents taking place over which he seems to have no dominion. Now, who is responsible for all this, and how is one to be delivered? There are questions which have been asked ever since the dream of belief began, and some day must be answered so that the entire world will understand. Man is an intelligent being and is to know the truth about himself and the universe. We can plainly see that there is no actual way by which man can be delivered in his night dream from the broken arm for the simple reason that the arm is not broken. Even waking him will not actually deliver him, for there is nothing actual from which he is to be delivered. But waking him from the dream will cause him to see the unreality of the dream experience and the reality of the truth at hand. Let man use his intelligence to see that as the night dream of sickness is unreal, and for this reason can be destroyed, so also the day dream of sickness is unreal, and for this reason can be destroyed. We have a heaven at hand, present not any distance away, in which man lives. He is exiled from this heavenly world, not actually, but in belief only, and to waken to the nothingness of belief delivers one to the reality which is here and now. When man breaks an arm in his waking hours, he calls a surgeon, has the bone set, feels the pain, etc. Where is this experience taking place? In heaven? No, it is taking place in what has been called mortal existence. The mortal body has been hurt, for surely the spiritual body could not be hurt. Whose mortal body? The mortal dream body of the mortal dream mind. What is this mortal or carnal mind, and to whom does it belong? It is nothing in and of itself, and it belongs to no one. It is fabulous and can well be compared to the mind of the man in the night dream. The man in his dream at night, finding himself in the office of the surgeon, having a bone set, what man is this? This is a false man. There is no such man at all. And the mind that is feeling the pain in the arm, whose mind is this? It is a false mind. There is no such mind at all. It does not belong to the man on the bed, for you might speak to him and ask him where he is and if he is in pain. And hearing you, he would answer that he is not feeling any pain at all, that he is in his own room and in no danger whatsoever. To be able to see the nothingness of this man with a broken arm in the dream, and to also see the nothingness of the mind, thinking, believing this experience is the insight which leads you to see the similar relationship between man on earth and man in heaven. The dream man in the physician's office typifies mortal man, a belief man, a picture man, a man with no substance, no life, no actual being whatsoever. The mind that is sustaining this dream man in the physician's office typifies the mind of the sick man on earth, and this mind has been called carnal mind or mortal mind. After one clearly perceives and accepts this illustration, then the next step for him to take is to acknowledge the nothingness of the dream man with the broken arm in the physician's office, and the actuality of the man with his arm thrown carelessly over his head on the pillow, which symbolizes the nothingness of a mortal man walking on this earth, sick, poor, troubled, and the actuality of man living, moving, acting in the spiritual world, happy, whole, harmonious. To have the spiritual insight to understand this explanation is like putting wings to one's feet, sweeping him into a new country, delivering lightness to his being, power to his acting, and joy to his heart. Matter is the name given to the body that is born, that is sick, that dies apparently. Mortal mind is the term applied to the mind that manifests such a body, the mind that believes in disease, sin, and death. Matter is the externalization of mortal mind, and they are one, which one is nothing actual, nothing eternal, nothing real, consequentially is dreamlike only. The mind that is thinking, I am sick, I am sinful, I am weak, is a false mind, a mortal mind, a dream mind. For, of course, it is not the mind of God which is the only mind, and this dream mind externalizes or shadows forth what is called disease and pain in the body. Now, to see and to accept that such mortal mind is nothing, non-existent, and that its mortal conditions are nothing, non-existent, is to be free from the false claim. It should be easy now for one to clearly understand these illuminating words from the pen of the noted writer and teacher of spiritual science. Quote, asserting a selfhood apart from God is a denial of man's spiritual sonship. This carnal, material mentality, misnamed mind, is mortal. You command the situation if you understand that mortal existence is a state of self-deception and not the truth of being. False sense evolves in belief. A subjective state of mortal mind, which this so-called mind names matter, thereby shutting out the true sense of spirit. Matter is but an image in mortal mind. The human mind and body are myths. This phantasm of mortal mind disappears as we better apprehend our spiritual existence and ascend the ladder of life. O wonderful light, O glorious insight transcending us, opening our vision to the nothingness of evil, the nothingness of false minds and false bodies, the nothingness of pictures and dreams, and beholding for us the omnipresence of the one eternal being, the one eternal perfection, here and now.